If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the returning voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are we?
I'm good, buddy. I am very good. It hath been a while. It's been a long time.
It's been a minute. I think that's what the kids say now. It's been
a hot minute.
It's been a hot minute, hasn't it? Just. I mean, do you think we pull that off?
I don't think so, but I like to think that we might be appealing to the youth. We're down with the kids.
Absolutely, we try. But it has been a while. It has. It's been a busy time. Do we make excuses now, or do we do that throughout the pod, just sort of drop them in?
I think we can just drop them in intermittently throughout the pod. But yes, it has been a busy time, which we alluded to when we released the Peter Shilton pod a couple of weeks ago. Hope you all enjoyed that. But yes, it's been a late start for Between the Sticks. What are we? So mid-September. So nearly a month into the season now. This is our first one.
It is. And ordinarily, we'd try and cram one in like late August, but it was just a little bit manic, it's fair to say. And then early September, for personal reasons, I think it's fair to say, it's been a busy time. And also, it's kind of the time that an agent... September is like the summer holiday for a kid. You know, that last day of school, that's effectively deadline day. That last day of school when that final lesson is done and you're released, released, it's probably the wrong word, but released into the playground and you know you've got 6 weeks off. It's kind of very similar for an agent. September 1st, that deadline day bell goes and you know it's an element of freedom, a bit of time to relax.
I think the key question amongst all of this is, did you enjoy the summer?
Yeah, I did. Do you know what? Every window, without being too geeky, every window fascinates me because they're all very, very different. So you always have an idea at the start of the summer as to where certain goalkeepers might go and the flow of a window, I'd call it. So like early on in a window, you get a lot of the frees and loans, the kind of key frees and loans tend to get done really, really early. Then you'll get a little bit of a lull and then you get some of the transfer fees later in the window. But I think what we saw this summer was the amount of money spent outside of the Premier League on goalkeepers was really, really low. And I think that was partly due to the fact there were so many frees and loans available this summer. The dynamic of goalkeeping in certainly League One, League Two has changed. I think 7 or 8 loans as number ones in League One now, which says a lot. So you're finding a lot less permanent transfers into League One, League Two. And then, of course, the money, the only real money, major money spent was in the Premier League and a lot on deadline day, with obviously Man City and Man United both doing business on deadline day itself. So, yeah, fascinating market, always is. I did enjoy it. And at the same time, you always get to a point, I think, as an agent where it just feels really long. It starts earlier in the year where you're doing a lot of the work building up to a window. Then May and June can be manic. Like I say, calms down a touch July, August, and then heats up again final week.
I think one of the key takes for me is the fact that it just seems to grow year on year, window on window. Every single window seems to be busier than the last. I mean, the amount of goalkeeping moves throughout the EFL and the Premier League this summer alone, let alone in Europe, was huge.
Yeah, well, there is more and more movement. I do wonder, you often wonder why that might be. I mentioned the fact there's so many loans now in particular. That's certainly changed the dynamic a bit in League One, League Two. There's also new roles that seem to be coming up. So certainly higher up, teams are carrying more goalkeepers. It was always the 1, 2, 3. Now we're talking about number fours, talking about training goalkeepers, the younger ones that are then going to go out and get their loans. Obviously, teams are recruiting not just for the first team, but for the 21s. Goalkeepers they might bring in to look to loan out, and business getting done with goalkeepers that are even younger than that as well. So I think you're right. Again, without having the stats to hand, I'm pretty sure it was a record in terms of number of goalkeepers moved. I think us personally, I'm right in saying I think we were involved in 41 moves, I think it was, you know, which was possibly like the lion's share of the market. But still, there were a lot of other moves that happened away from us. And yeah, it was a huge number in the end.
I'm on the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, Richard, we shall start, of course, in the Premier League and at Selhurst Park. Crystal Palace 0, Sunderland 0. We're going to start with two goalless draws, which is arguably the best scoreline for the Goalkeepers Union podcast. It was Crystal Palace 0, Sunderland 0. And Robin Roofs, who came in from Nijmegen in the summer from the Eredivisie, I guess an upgrade from Sunderland's perspective on Anthony Patterson. We might get into that and whether Patterson has been unlucky to lose that number one spot, having helped Sunderland get up to the Premier League. But Roofs has taken to the Premier League, you might say, like a duck to water. So six saves in this one, twice denying Daichi Kamada, and a good save from Jean-Philippe Mateta as well. He's looking quite good.
Indeed. How often do we talk about this? And again, it's happened this summer where teams that get promoted and how often they change their goalkeeper. If you look over the last six, 7 years, how rare it is now to see that a goalkeeper actually keeps his place. And all three promoted teams have done the same thing. They've all brought in a goalkeeper. Only Burnley with a goalkeeper that's recognised, obviously Martin Dubravka. But look, credit to Roofs from what I've seen so far. Very, very impressive. I know, very young. Certainly question marks coming into the Premier League. We've seen goalkeepers that are very experienced that have struggled in the Premier League, but no, he's taken to it very well. And I thought a couple of saves in this one in particular, really enjoyed the save with the shoulder for the fact that he didn't panic in that moment. You can sometimes, when someone's close in, you know, look to react or look to do something different, but he just held his shape, knew that he had a big shape and was covering a large proportion of the goal, stayed firm, big save with the shoulder. And I love the save he made low right, really powerful, looks like he moves well, very athletic, big, big save.
How much of this is, in your opinion, based on ability over perception? The fact that Patterson's done what he's done for Sunderland, yet for whatever reason, be it the fact that he's English, be it the fact that he's only played in the EFL, they've decided to go for someone who's played in the top flight in a different country to then take the place of the young English goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think it's a deep subject. We could do a whole podcast on this subject, because I think that, for a start, so rarely does a Premier League team sign a goalkeeper from the Championship that hasn't previously played in the Premier League. The few examples that you've got where they have actually signed goalkeepers from the Championship to play has been when they've already played in the Premier League previously. Like, it's almost this thing that they wouldn't risk a Championship goalkeeper in the Premier League, but they'd happily risk bringing in a lad from somewhere else who's never played anything like English football and take a risk on that, as opposed to bringing in a lad from the Championship. So it's not something that sits brilliantly with me, because, again, the Championship, what is it, the fifth biggest league in the world or whatever it is? It's not like it's, you know, a mile away from the Premier League in terms of goalkeeping standards. So I do find it frustrating. I think it's slightly political as well, in that you can bring in a big name or a bigger name from abroad, and it seems to be well received more often than not, where it's a bit more exciting because nobody knows anything about this goalkeeper. Whereas if you're signing a goalkeeper from a regular Championship club, it's maybe not quite got the same appeal to it as it has bringing someone in from your Belgiums, Hollands, South America, wherever it might be. So yeah, like I say, it's something that doesn't sit great with me, because the other part to it is that the majority of goalkeepers that have been given a chance in the Premier League that have previously played in the Championship, more often than not have succeeded. And again, that even happened last season with goalkeepers that were given their opportunity in the Premier League, and it's not a completely different world. And the funny thing is, as soon as they do that, they then get the tag of having played Premier League, and they are seen in a different realm, even though they are no different to the goalkeeper we saw in the Championship.
Like you say, a much deeper topic that we could go into at length, perhaps on a special one day, Richard. On to the next goalless draw between Everton and Aston Villa, and Emi Martinez. So plenty of talk this summer, certainly towards the end of the window, about him moving on. It didn't materialise. He was back in at the weekend, and a couple of really good stops from Jack Grealish and Michael Keane.
Yeah, really enjoyed the save with his foot in particular. Save top left, very good, moves well, really awkward save, gets up there well and keeps it out. But I love the save with his foot, where the way in which he repositioned his body, you know, we talk about Martinez, like, for someone who's of the build that he is, the speed at which he moves, the power he's got, but also the athleticism and flexibility to make the save very difficult, because he's moving to his left to be able to readjust. And it looked a bit awkward in the end, because he's almost had to fall backwards in order to make the save. But very, very clever as to how he readjusts, gets a good foot to it, gets it away from danger. Another big save.
Fulham 1, Leeds 0, and Carl Darlow in for Lucas Perry. This was his first Premier League start since November 2021. and a really good performance from him. So flying saves from Harry Wilson and the new Fulham signing, Kevin. The latter, however, so this ended up in a shambolic own goal from the resulting corner. And it was not the only one of those this weekend. So very much a theme of the pod this week, with goals from resulting corners, goals in injury time, and shambolic own goals.
Well, there you go. But yeah, no, Carl Darlow, I thought, very good, very good. And it's going to be really interesting how it plays out at Leeds because, and again, we haven't done a pod the last few weeks, but I know it's been a tough start for Perry. And with Darlow coming in and playing in the way that he did, certainly going to stake a claim of sorts, you'd think. But the two saves that we're going to touch on in particular, the one from the free kick and then the top-hand save, I'd say the one from the free kick's a good save. I'd say the next save, the top-hand save, is world-class. The way, again, the power he found to get up there. I mean, this ball is dipping. It's a lovely strike. It's dipping under the crossbar. It's so high at the point that it reaches him. But the way in which he explodes up to his left, full stretch, gets those fingertips to it. And it's the smallest of touches, but so, so vital. I mean, I've got three or four saves from the weekend, but this was certainly one of them.
Yes, I'd say in the Premier League, that's one of four save of the weekend contenders. To finish in the Premier League, we're going to go with the other three. So the first one of those, Nick Pope, inside the first few seconds. Here's some advice you can give on being alert and ready from the moment the ball is kicked off. So this was in Newcastle's win over Wolves. A brilliant stop, classic Pope, you'd say, to keep out Rodrigo Gomez from the kickoff. And then seconds later from Hwang Hee-chan, the resulting corner there. Two really good saves inside a minute from Pope. David Raya, 100 up for him at Arsenal now. More on that in a moment. But first, brilliant save to divert a Chris Wood Chester, I guess you'd call it, onto the bar. Arsenal beating Nottingham Forest. And on his Premier League debut, Gianluigi Donnarumma made, I guess, what you'd call an elite save, a top, top save in Man City's derby win over Manchester United. This was, just one of those saves that you, when you're watching it, you're like, wow, my word, what a save that is. Fantastic stop from Donnarumma. Bryant and Bumo's volley diverted wide.
It was. And do you know what? I know we give Gary Neville a little bit of stick on this show, but I think it was him that said in the commentary that there's not many other goalkeepers that make this save. And I agree with him to the point where there might not be another goalkeeper that makes this save. And the reason I say that, and that's to take nothing away from any of the other goalkeepers in the Premier League, this is, and again, we're going to see a lot of Donnarumma now over the next year or two, no doubt. This, for me, will end up becoming classic Donnarumma. The fact that he's got such long levers, what is it? I want to say 6'6". Is he 6'5", 6'6"? Such long levers. He's so quick to get down. I mean, this, he had no right to save it. This is going right in the corner with power, back from where it came from. This has to be a goal. If this doesn't go in, there's no way in which Mbeumo can score from there. You know, there's literally no way because it was the perfect strike, and it's just a brilliant, brilliant save. I can't speak highly enough about this save. David Raya's save as well, very good, to readjust in the way that he did. Again, using a little bit of improvisation to get himself up, and they didn't spot it at first, the commentators, and I think when they did spot it, they realised just how good it was. And the fact that it's come off the lad's chest, that makes it even more difficult because it's not what you'd expect. You know, you can kind of read it to an extent if someone's about to strike it with their foot or header it or whatever it might be, but to come off his chest in the way that it did, it's a lovely bit of improvisation on the finish, in fairness, but to get up and get fingertips, excellent save. And as you say, Nick Pope, again, top saver for the fact that it was literally from kickoff to be alert and to make a save of that nature. You know, I've been there myself in games where it can take you a bit of time to get going, and normally the first minute of a game, teams are feeling each other out, but to be called into action within seconds like that and make that save, very, very good.
Do you want some stats to finish?
Okay.
So that was David Raya's 100th Arsenal game in all competitions. It was his 42nd clean sheet, which is quite a record, and the best ratio of games per clean sheet of any Arsenal goalkeeper ever. That's an average of 2.38 games per clean sheet. He's also the 20th goalkeeper to play a century of games for Arsenal.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's, and again, I know without wanting to harp back too much, but obviously when they signed him, and you know, there's a little bit of carnage, to be honest, with Ramsdale still being there, a lot of the conversations, a lot of the fact that there was so much being made of him playing and everything was being looked into, any small error, it was talks of Ramsdale and the little bit of back and forth they had. But once it's settled down, and now it's nice, actually, as much as, again, we talk about the commentators far too much on this show, they've now accepted that he is a top, top goalkeeper. And it's funny how the narrative has taken ages to change, it feels like, with him. Like, certainly that first year, you know, he was brilliant at Brentford, according to everyone. Then as soon as he goes to Arsenal, that first year, it was tough for him in terms of the narrative that surrounded him. But now it just seems to have settled down and everyone accepts that he is a fantastic goalkeeper. And again, probably a goalkeeper that I really appreciate for the fact that he's not your stereotypical goalkeeper. You know, he's probably 6'1 tops, but just the way he plays in terms of being on the front foot, the speed at which he moves, the power he's got, you know, just plays with such a positive energy. So, no, delighted for him. And that as a record, you know, you normally say for a goalkeeper, if, you know, if you're better than 1 in 3 clean sheets, then yeah, you've had a fantastic season or a fantastic career. You know, even 1 in 4, I'd say to be above that. But to be 1 in effectively 2, just over 2, it's a phenomenal record.
Yeah, very good. And can you name me the other 19 goalkeepers who have made 100 appearances for Arsenal? Couldn't even get through the sentence for that last.
I reckon I could name, let me think, David Seaman, John Lukic, Jens Lehmann.
Oh, he's actually going to do it. Okay.
I've got 3, but go on.
I've got no idea.
Don't name all 19, but go on. Give me a couple of other names. There must be a name in there that you're like, oh, yeah, him.
Wait, I don't know. Did you say Seaman? David Seaman?
I said Seaman, yeah. Seaman, Lukic. Oh, okay. I went Seaman, Lukic and Jens Lehmann.
Okay. Well, Petr Cech, I would imagine.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Pat Jennings and Bob Wilson.
Well, if you can name the other 14, please let us know. Easy to make contact.
Wonderful. And there it is, the music we know, we love, we've missed, or at least I have. Anyway, it is the EFL overview into the Championship. Vladan Kovacevic into Norwich from Sporting over the summer. And like Roos, a decent start to life in English football. So Norwich should have won in their game at Coventry. He made a string of decent stops, one a pat away after a scramble at a corner, another from a point-blank Ellis Sims effort, the home side nicking an equaliser, however, in injury time. That was in the 96th minute, no less. As I said at the top, plenty of those this weekend. Lawrence Vigouro back from making his international bow with Chile and continuing fine form in Swansea's draw with Hull. Really good reactions to keep out Joel Gelhardt and Mohamed Bellamy. However, another late goal, a 97th minute equaliser conceded in that one, and another goal from a resulting corner. A winner for Stoke after Ryan Alsop had stretched out a palm to divert Divin Mubama's attempted Cruyff flick wide, and 5 conceded by Michael Cooper. So I'm not sure we've ever said that on this podcast, and very rarely have we ever spoken about a potential Cooper error too. The third goal in the 5-0 rout at the hands of Ipswich scored by George Hurst.
Yeah, well, do you know, I'll start with that. Just for the fact that I actually felt for Michael Cooper. I mean, it's been a torrid start for Sheffield United, and as of recording, they allowed the manager to move on, I believe, yesterday. But I really felt for Michael Cooper on this, more for the fact that he just never got himself set. Like, he did the first bit, forced the guy wide, got himself back into position, but he never really quite looked comfortable or ready for the shot that came in. And when it came in, it was a really awkward way in which he went down, kind of squirmed through him a little bit. So certainly one that we'd be disappointed with. And at the same time, any goalkeeper listening in, you know how difficult it is once you've had an action and you need to get yourself back into position as quickly as you can and get yourself set and ready for the next save. And he just didn't quite do that in the moment. It's good to mention Kovacevic, because he's one, again, you know, mentioned goalkeepers that we spoke a lot of over the years, but again, a new goalkeeper that's come in, someone that, I'll be honest, don't know a great deal about, but has certainly hit the ground running by all accounts. Certainly all the feedback that I've heard, without having seen loads of what he's done so far, it certainly seems like he's settled very well. Big save from Ryan Alsop, well done to him as well. And it's a big battle there between him and James Beadle, and Ryan Alsop started the Championship season very well. And wanted to save Lawrence Vigouro for last, because again, we can be very open, he is one that we work with, and I think that his journey, for me, for all the goalkeepers that are out there, they've gone all these various journeys to get to wherever they get to, like, his for me is one of the most inspirational, where he had certain issues when he was younger, some that I'm sure he'd hold his hands up to and take responsibility for, some that I think he was very harshly done by. He ended up going abroad, found his way back into England eventually with Leyton Orient, and he was, well, I want to say 26, 27 at that point. You know, he wasn't young. So how many goalkeepers go from League Two at that age and find their way to top-end Championship or even Premier League briefly with Burnley when he was number three, and then to win himself a place back in the international reckoning and to then play for Chile against Brazil in a World Cup qualifier match? I mean, it's just a fantastic story. And then to return, even that, and again, a lot of people probably won't appreciate this, but for the lads that are playing for those sorts of countries, you know, the ones that are in South America or Australia, New Zealand, etc., to then have to get back, get reacclimatized and play a game on a Saturday. You know, I know how bad I am with jet lag, to then have to play a game of that magnitude and put in the performance that he did once again. Yeah, hats off to him.
Into League One, Joe Gauci. A first proper mention, really, on here for him. A solid showing as well against Exeter for Port Vale. It's a big win for Port Vale at St James's Park. Four saves and a clean sheet. Could be a big season for him on loan from Aston Villa. Nathan Trott, another first proper mention on here for a long time for him. Back in the game following his loan to Cardiff from FC Copenhagen. He started really well, conceded just 2 in 7. One of those on Saturday at Stockport, but not before a fine save to tip over Benoni Andressen's header 6 yards out. That was a really good save. And can we have the first goalkeeper assist klaxon of the season, please? Liam Roberts, now of Mansfield, with an underarm throw to set up Joe Gardner's equaliser against Stevenage. I think we can say that may also be a first mention on here, an underarm assist.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it just shows you the speed at which he's caught the cross, got himself to the edge of the box. And sometimes it doesn't need to be the big boom up the other end. He's seen the space, really good execution with the throw out. And I mean, got to give a little bit of credit to the lad and that he did then run it 50 yards and fire it into the corner. But no, excellent goalkeeping here. And Nathan Trott, I wanted to mention as well, as you said, it's interesting. He's sort of been off radar a bit, obviously going over to Copenhagen, has come back, good opportunity to show what he can do in England, has been a positive start. And this was a top save underneath the crossbar, the speed of reactions to get his hands up, get fingertips to it, put it over the bar. Very, very good.
And finally, in League One, just wanted to reference a very entertaining game at Kenilworth Road between Luton and Plymouth. So the visitors won 3-2. Luton twice equalised in the game, both via the spot from different takers. Plymouth had two men sent off, one of those being the manager, Tom Cleverley. Luke Ashby-Hammond with 5 big saves to keep the away side in front. And then we might have to go with the first one of these for the season.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
This was an odd one, really. It was a speculative effort from Laurent Tolarge inside his own half. It's bobbled towards Josh Keeley, who somehow managed to fumble it for a corner. This then leads us to spawny goal of the week, I think, as the ball has ricocheted around the box from said resulting corner. Keeley's made a good stop, only to then see his defender's clearance cannon in off the back of a Plymouth player. An absolutely mad sequence of events.
It was. Yeah, I say I felt for him. I feel like I say that too often, but I can't help but feel he's just lost a bit of concentration because it was a speculative effort. You know, you can even hear the groans of the crowd to an extent because it was a ridiculous effort. It was nowhere near it. And I just think he's taken his eye off the ball, lost concentration. He was nowhere near the goal at that point, so it wasn't really any danger. But then obviously to give away the corner is frustrating. And the corner was just, I mean, if they still did what's the old school VHS called? Own Goals and Gaffes with Danny Baker. If they still did that, that's quite a nice little reference, isn't it? If they still did that, then this would definitely be on there because it was just carnage in the box and the swipe from the defender off the ricocheted off into the top corner. It was just, yeah, one thing after another. But on a positive, to give Luke Ashby-Hammond a mention as well, because he's obviously gone to Plymouth, left Fulham in the summer, gone into Plymouth. Connor Hazard injured at the moment, so he's filling in for Connor Hazard. And he's grown with each game. And I thought he had an excellent game in this one in particular. Several big, big saves to go and get a win away at Luton after such a difficult start that Plymouth have had, but certainly starting to pick up now. Yeah, big win for them and a big moment for him.
So from being down with the kids with a hot minute in the intro, we're back into the 90s with Danny Baker's Own Goals and Gaffes.
it's just bringing back memories. It was that and Race for the Championship. I remember that, 1989, 1990. I can still remember the theme tune as well. I mean, it just shows you.
Yeah, it does. Nice one, cuz. Okay, on to League 2. Jake Eastwood of Cambridge. So unlucky with an injury time penalty save that's then been rebounded in at his old club as well, Grimsby. That was for a draw. But Kieran Slicker, not so unlucky with 2 stops from the spot. Barnett beating Crewe at Gresty Row to both saves made at one apiece. Josh March and Max Sanders denied from 12 yards. The second one, so it's come off Slicker's legs, onto the bar. It's spun about a bit. He spun about a bit, and then it's been cleared. What a day for the Ipswich Loney. On his birthday weekend as well, I believe.
It was indeed. I mean, what a feeling it must be. Two penalty saves in one game. What a feeling it must be. Can you imagine?
I'm going to guess, well, in fact, I know, don't I, that you've done this once before in your career, haven't you, Richard?
I have. But do you know what? Kieran Slicker's saves were a lot better than mine. I will say that. I thought the first penalty save to his right-hand side, really powerful young goalkeeper is Kieran Slicker. Gets right across his goal, full stretch to his right, really firm parry away. And the second one, do you know, it's a brilliant save to improvise, to get a foot to it, to get it up onto the bar. Then he loses his bearings a bit. And this where also give a little bit of credit to the defender who then slid in, made a brilliant challenge to then put it out for a corner, which again, to an extent, gave Kieran that moment, you know, because it was, yeah, top day for him and a big time for him as well. You know, he's been waiting for that opportunity, been at Ipswich for a while, Man City before that, not really had those running games that he's been desperate to have. He's now certainly got that opportunity and it's fair to say that he's taken it.
There can't be that many, can there, other goalkeepers who saved two penalties in a game. Can you think of any others? Who was yours against?
Southampton away, which was, yeah, I remember. I gave away one of them, which I don't know if that means then that kind of diminishes it a little bit. Although it was definitely outside the box. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. I've got over it now. It was a while ago. But Southampton, I remember one fire down the middle, did my research, stood up tall, made the save, and then the other to my left-hand side that I was able to hold. So it was good. And I think we won the game 2-0, which then also helps. It's a bit different. I think this was the key thing about this, to then win the game 2-1. Tough place to go as well, Crewe, and get a victory. But to make the saves, get the victory. As a goalkeeper, there's not many better feelings than that. Even one penalty save and you end up winning the game. You know, the buzz you get from that. To save two and be the hero of the hour, big moment for him.
Yeah, huge for him. Again, another big season ahead for him. John Ruddy, there you go, there's one. I think, didn't he save two for Wolves in that mad game at the end of the game against Cardiff when Nuno Espirito Santo and Neil Warnock had a big row at the end? That rings bells.
Yeah.
Can't think of any others. Hey, there you go, listeners. You've got to name 14 Arsenal goalkeepers who've made 100 appearances and goalkeepers who have saved two penalties in the same game. Why not on Twitter at GK Union or on our phone number on WhatsApp 07503673020.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Clean Sheet Club. It's been a while. It's time for this. Yeah, that's right. It's Clean Sheet Club. I thought I'd pass the reins over and I thought I was done with this, but apparently not. It's still my responsibility. So let's crack on, shall we? We've started in the Premier League. David Raya, ton done. Dean Henderson, 5 in all competitions already. Robin Roofs on fire. Jordan Pickford yet to concede at the new home. Emi Martinez, account open for 25-26. Bernd Leno, account open for 25-26, Mark II. Nick Pope, 3 from 4. Guglielmo Vicario, same. Alisson Becker, back-to-back. Gianluigi Donnarumma, welcome to the club. Into the Championship. Alex Palmer, account open for 25-26, Mark III. Radi Vitek, tally doubled. Victor Johansson, Mark II. Balas Toth, Mark 4. Jacob Vetstrom, account open for 25-26, Mark 4. Gavin Bazunu, skate then saint. Nicholas Schmidt, Ben Killip, sharing the spoils. Into League One, Lee Burge, hat-trick. George Wickens, cleaning and winning. Joe Gauchi, account open for 25-26, Mark 5. Sam Tickle, tally doubled, Mark 6. And into League Two, Ollie Wright, first ever win and clean. Harvey Davis, none in 7 to 2-2. Glenn Morris, 1-2. Matthew Hudson, 1-2-2.
Very good, Richard. Very, very good. A few of your Roman numerals, you mixed up slightly, but it doesn't matter. It's immaterial.
I was struggling to read the numeral. You could have just written the number. I don't know why we have to do Roman numerals. I mean, we've gone everywhere on this podcast, from a hot minute to Roman numerals. I mean, and everywhere in between.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I hope people feel the same. That clean sheet club. We won't do the table just yet. I think we'll get to 10 games before we rack up the totals. But I think there's going to be some new names this season, which is very, very exciting.
It is indeed. You say that. That's providing we have any listeners. We've not been here for a while. We could be doing this and talking to absolutely no one. Absolutely no one. Just for the fun of it.
Okay, Richard, that is us done. Is there anything else you'd like to add for the first podcast of the season?
Oh, you put me on the spot there. Not that I can think of. I'm very, very excited for the season ahead. As you say, there's going to be certainly some new names when it comes to Clean Sheet Club. I think last season, as much, and look, it was incredible what James Trafford did, I think we knew after about 3 months that he was going to claim that. So yeah, hopefully that's a little bit tighter this season. Certainly some young goalkeepers out there in both the Premier League, Championship, League One, that are certainly looking forward to seeing how they do. But just delighted that we're in September. Things are underway again. It just feels normal again, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Away.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.